welcome to a new episode of Be a Fan podcast. We are back. We had to take a little bit of a break, you know, just scheduling things that didn't work out. But we are back at the tail end of MSI. It's been over a week since MSI ended, but we'll dive into that. But more importantly, we have a fantastic guest on the show today to walk us through what his experience was like watching the MSI, you know, upcoming thoughts for summer. But we're also going to be, I think we're going to have a little debate about this whole Hall of Legends thing that, you know, was announced this past week. And of course, we have quite a bone to pick with some of the roster decision making that's been going on during the offseason. We thought this was going to be a quiet offseason, but it hasn't been. But let me introduce our guest. It is my pleasure to invite Random Brutes to the show. You know, met him through our co-host, or my co-host, Mage, and, you know, he'll be bringing us his knowledge, his view, and his fandom. So, Random, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show, man. Yeah, super glad to be here. Not too busy of a day.
That's good. I'm glad I catch you on, you know, a not-so-busy day. It'll give us some room to talk league. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, how did you get involved with League of Legends? Was there a defining moment for you? Or like, where are you as far as like a fan?
So I first started playing League in season, I didn't want to say. So it was like right before Mythic Items came out. And I started out as a jungler. Yeah, I started out as a jungler. I was a Shyvana one trick. And I specifically remember despising the changes they made that forced Shyvana to the AP build and not the AD build. So I started in season 9. In season 10, I joined my high school esports team. Where I ended up swapping roles a little bit between jungle and support, because that's what we had versus what we didn't have. Or rather, we had two junglers and no support, so it was like, have fun.
It's crazy. And then, nobody wanted to play support, huh?
No one loves support. I did a year of that, and then the next year, no, it was actually towards the end of that year, the varsity team needed a top laner, and I was like, might as well, I'll give it a shot. And so I became a top laner from then on, and that was a very defining moment, because I'm still a top laner.
Oh.
Heading into season 10, was a top laner, been a top laner for 4 years now. Love it to death.
Really?
Yes, even if it is stale.
It takes a lot of patience, man. It takes a lot of like focus, patience, and if you're lame, just like it's F, then game's kind of GG.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, certainly that must have been quite the experience to be part of a competitive team, and even in the high school level, I would say that's I didn't even have that opportunity. So, wow.
It was weird, because like we'd have practices like 2 to 3 times a week, but I was already busy doing so many other things. I was like and then, you know, it just kind of happened. I took a break from League for about 6 months. Which was actually pretty beneficial, I'm not going to lie.
Oh.
And then I came back to League, and I started playing a little bit of ADC, because I was like, man, this top lane gig, not my thing. And then I joined the current team that I'm a part of, Sector 7. That's actually where I met Laughing Mage. And yeah, I've been with them for over 2 years now. I'm still a top laner. And we are vibing. I first started watching the Pro League, I really started watching in like 2019, 2020.
Okay, good year. That was a good year.
Yeah, so like, you know, TL was coming off of their MSI win, and then everything, shenanigans ensued after summer of 2020, or not summer, spring of 2020, and then TSM won, and then the TSM run of 2020, like, that was a year to watch.
Yes. Oh, man. I haven't been, like, a fan of TSM, but that was remarkable. I did give them no right. They gave them no chance, but, you know, they proved me wrong.
TSMXD.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm 90% sure if you held, like, another All-Stars League pro event, people would still be memeing it.
Well, they are pretty unforgettable. They are.
Yeah.
For the rest of the world, that LCS is TSM, but, you know, we don't have a TSM anymore.
Nope. We just got Shopify. I actually don't mind the Shopify roster. I think the Shopify roster is also really good. I like them. Okay. And as for the current state of what my pro view is like, I love watching LPL. I think specifically for top lane, in LPL, like, you can't really get that caliber unless you look to the LCK in the top four teams. But instead of just the top four teams, you're getting matchups like that every. So I think as a top laner, I find it really, really, really fun to watch. Especially the pro views. On Billy Billy, they have pro views of
Bin?
Yeah, so they have pro views of like Bin, of Shanji, of a bunch of other pro players as well. Yeah, like they have pro views of Xiaohu versus Zika, of Xiaohu and Birtle, and like just stuff like that. Matchups that you don't typically get to see on the world stage because it's largely dominated by 369, Bin, Flandre, those kind of top laners that are that next level.
I have to say, LPL is interesting in and of itself because it's almost like a group of the teams have a different idea of what they want from their top lane, and then there's a group that has a completely different. There's so much variety. So did you have like a style that you wanna, you know, play like, or, you know, it's just something that, you know, it seems like this is peak league for top lane?
Shoot, now I have to look this up. What year did 28? Please hold. What was the IG 2018 roster?
Is that the year they won the championship?
Yes, that is the one.
That the Shy, Ning, Rookie, Jackie Love, and who was the support? Baolan, I think.
Okay. Interesting. The one Worlds I very distinctly remember was watching Bin absolutely hard carry on Fumer. I can't remember which Worlds that was. I don't think that was the year JDG won. Was he on JDG then?
Who was that? Bin? Bin was on... Shoot, it was not JDG. I don't think he was ever on there. Bin was played for, I think, RNG? Wait. I can find this very quickly. Bin. Please. Search engine. But yeah, just walk me through as I look up the player. What did you remember about him specifically? That was before he landed with Billy Billy, right?
Yeah. It was like the thing that just stuck out to me was that like he just like it just felt like he was the only hope of that roster. In those games at least. It was very
You played for Weibo RNG, yeah.
Weibo RNG. That might have been RNG. I don't know.
If you're going far as back as 2019, he played for Suning, who later become Weibo.
Oh, that's for Suning. Okay. that just shows you how recently, within like the past two seasons, that I've started watching LPL. Yeah, so specifically watching Bin and having him hard carry, really, like, that's what got me to pick up what eventually became my main champion of Season 12, Season 13, Fiora, man, that champ looks really, really cool. I want to learn her. And then I proceeded to pour over 400 games worth of effort into that champion.
Oh,
yes, I was still at a gold level. Do not flame me, okay?
A Fiora on gold. I'm betting you people loved you on that solo queue.
Oh, yeah, they absolutely loved it every single time.
Did you blind pick her?
Oh,
that
would
be crazy.
Well, no, because last year, so in 2022 and in 2023, seasons 12 and 13, she was blindable. She had very few bad matchups that people rarely played. The only one I had to worry about was like Jax. Because you outscaled Darius, Camille is a skill matchup. Irelia is a skill matchup. And Jax is the only, like, skill matchup that is very heavily favored towards the Jax. Mm-hmm. Granted, during I was a very strict Aatrox banner, because that, as much as I play that champ now, he is so cancer, man. Like, it's crazy.
And thus your journey as a top laner. Wow, Fiora. Are you still meaning Fiora, or did you expand your pool a little?
Oh no, I've expanded my pool. My coaches were not happy that I was only playing Fiora, and they were like, yes, we get it, you draw ban, but you're like useless on any other pick. Expand your champ pool. So now it's a lot better, I swear.
Right? That's good. As long as you keep improving and expanding. Wonderful.
Yeah, now it's just Kled.
Kled? Wow, that's a champ I don't face a lot. And so I don't know how to play against into him.
Super underrated champion. Super fun to play.
Huh.
Mostly because of the one-shot potential he has, and nobody ever expects it.
Right? Because I don't think I would expect him to be a one-shot champ. Oh, sneaky.
Yeah,
sneaky.
If you build Lethality with your empowered auto on W4, plus the Q pull and a dash in with your E, you can easily deal over 1,500 damage in like less than a second. It's pretty great.
I'm gonna have to peek into your OPGG just to kind of copy it. We'll get there, but
eventually.
And so the LPL is now where you give most of your fandom attention to, your fandom energy, which, great segue, because they played into the MSI. One of their teams got very far. Yeah, let's start there, because our last show we only covered up until even before the second stage started. We didn't even get a chance to talk about how TL surprised everyone, got rid of Fnatic, and then, we were able to move, take a game off T1, before and eventually falling. And I don't blame them. It's still T1 at the end of the day, even though it was not the best of Faker. They played as well, and they showed how even G2 couldn't take a game away from them. TL did. So I'm just going to leave it at that. So let's dive into the two games, the two matchups that you want to focus on today. It's the semifinals, and I believe that's referring to Gen G Bilibili. Is that the first time? All right.
So let's go into it. And if you want to, we could touch on how well TL did, because I think, personally, I think they achieved a lot more than anyone was expecting.
Yes.
But if you just want to talk about semis, that's fine too. With the semis matchup, I really enjoyed watching BLG versus Gen G. My only gripe with it, I think BLG did not play to their strength. Because their strength is their bot side. It's having the jungler there to set up dives to push their bot lane forward and to severely cripple the enemy bot lane, right? They didn't really play to that strength, it seemed like. Things just kind of felt out of whack, like, and because Gen G really loves their scaling comps as well, like, BLG didn't really have a chance if they didn't set someone behind, and you can't really set Chovy behind. Doran's not top lane anymore, so he can't grief Chovy.
Oh, the addition of Keen has been amazing for this team.
Oh, yeah, I know. Keen, easy top two. Best top laner in the LCK. I would say top five overall, or just in general that are still active, but yeah, it's okay though. And yeah, I can't really talk about specifics because it was so long ago and I didn't really refresh on that series.
No worries. I can read off some of the highlights of the first game Bilibili took away from them. They had the Camille top, Sejuani jungle, Ahri mid for Knight, Varus and Ashe bot combo against a Twisted Fate Viego, Orianna, Senna, Nautilus combo. Pretty one-sided. They won on an 18-6 kill difference, and the game ended at 36 minutes and 30 seconds. The second game, Gen G was able to come back with the same exact scoreline now on the opposite end with Gen G 18-6. And they played a bit more of a traditional meta, except Yone mid, which, you know, Chovy on Yone, it's a fantastic watch. It looks like Bilibili went a little bit more conservative with the Orianna pick, but they played Jax, Sejuani, Orianna, Kalista, Ashe combo again. Then at game three, they switched it up. They went with the Poppy, Nidalee, Hui, Kalista, Nautilus against a scaling comp of, Genji won that game with that comp against Bilibili, mm-hmm. who went Kassante, Diana, Poppy, Senna, Kench. Diana is an interesting pick. I don't think I've seen her pick much, if at all.
Diana recently? Yeah, no, she is not particularly great right now.
And then the last game, Genji was able to pull off a 24-16 kill difference. They just hammered on BLG, and that theme kind of continued into the finals too. But let me just read off some of the comp. Maybe you can talk a little bit about this last game, or at least your impression of the comp. Bilibili took Kassante, Vi, Vex, Kalista, and Renata. So kind of more or less standard. Genji went with Twisted Fate, Maokai, Corki, and a Lucian Nami bot.
Interesting. Okay. So that was... Hold on. Okay, let me pull up this. Oh my god. Thanks, you too. Alright. So you said game... This is grand finals. I want semis. Give me semis. Could you read off that...
Yes.
Those champs for me again?
Sure. Bilibili went with Kassante, Vi, Vex, Kalista, Renata. Genji went with Twisted Fate, Maokai, Corki, Lucian Nami.
And he said TF, Maokai, Corki, Lucian Renata.
Lucian Nami. Yeah.
I'm just going to say this out the gate. I think ranged top lane meta, complete bullshit. I despise it from the bottom of my heart. If you go ranged top lane, you know what you deserve. I'm not going to say anything beyond that.
It's holding yourself back. You must love those like vain and like random like top lane.
Vain, like in particular, vain TF. I'm glad Ghost got nerfed. I think they should have just nerfed it for range champions. Kept the cooldown same for melee, nerfed it for range. The Vi Maokai matchup, I like as much as I don't like range top, I think Genji's comp is just better. They have so much, they have plenty of disengage, lots of room and space to make for the quirky Lucian to get off poke damage, and the TF can just run around being, you know, a little dipshit in the background. Meanwhile, on the opposite side with BLG's comp, there's not really, like, I do think the Vex pick is interesting. This is the first Vex pick I think I've seen in over a year. I think they had to have early rotated it. Because I'm looking at this comp that Genji has, and the only one you can consistently get stuff off on is Lucian Maokai. Of course, Corki also has a dash, but like he's not really going to be in range unless you can hit some god-tier Qs on Vex. It's not really going to work. And then Kassante Vi, do you really want to be engaging into a Maokai Nami Twisted Fate? Not really. Not unless you actively have a death win. But, yeah. So I think it was just a draft diff. Plus, you're putting Chovy on another scaling pick. Of course you're going to win. It's Chovy. Come on.
Oh, dude. The man dumpstered on mid lane so badly. I think he's 110 CS ahead at the end of the game. It's crazy. Against Knight, no less. This is a Chovy Knight matchup.
Yeah, like, I think Chovy Knight matchups, bangers all the way. Like, it's awesome to watch those two play. I do think Chovy, like, I think Chovy is the best player in the world right now.
Ooh.
I do not think that there's someone that can top him.
Interesting. Now, Chovy has a long career, and this year it's just been consistently good for him. You know, do you have those years where he, I guess, you know, you can blame
where
the team
too. He wasn't necessarily as good, but this year... There is, like, it doesn't matter how far behind you put Chovy. Within the next 5 to 10 minutes, he'll be back in the game again. Well, I wouldn't even say 10. I'd say within the next 5 to 7 minutes. He's back in the game. He's being a pain in the ass. You can't really do anything about it. He's just that good.
Yes.
And that's all that I really have to say about the first Gen G versus BLG matchup.
Let's look into the finals then. This game also went for a 4-game series where pretty much what I felt was Gen G dominated and just gave away game 3, but let's hear your thoughts on the whole series.
Okay, so if we look at game 1, right off the bat, we see a Karthus, Yone, Senna on the side of Gen G. You know Canyon. I think Chovy Canyon, I think that is probably one of the best roster moves made in the past decade. Mm-hmm. I do not think that there is another better roster change. I think you pair up the best jungler in the LCK with the best mid laner in the world, like, it's so hard to play into them. Especially when you see, you know, it's Yone Karthus. Post 25 minutes, they will destroy your HP bars. It doesn't matter if they kill you. They just need to get you to, like, 100. You're forced to back. They have the upper hand. They get objective control. You know, typical team fight stuff or pre-team fight stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you add in two absolute beefcakes of a Tahm Kench and a Cassante. I think Keen is a Cassante merchant. If Cassante's open, and what I mean by that is, if Cassante's open, Keen will take it every time, and he will perform on it every time without fail. Now, that brings up a point, or I'm going to bring up something that pissed me off to no end. I think lane swaps are BS.
Yeah.
I hate them. I think they make the game very boring and stale, because you're not having laners versus laners. You're having, oh, hey, Bodlin's going to rotate top and absolutely absolutely dick down the enemy top laner, but then your top laner is also getting dicked down on the other side of the map. So just top laners are out of the game until 12, 15 minutes, and that just makes for a really boring game. Like, yeah, you're min-maxing gold on your ADC, whoopty frickin' do. Who cares if you're gonna get one-shot by the frickin' Cassante?
I think I can resonate with that. It was not fun to watch, for sure, from a viewer standpoint. here we go again.
Yeah, I'm glad Riot is making changes to lane swap meta.
Yes, yes.
I think it was a completely bogus meta to begin with. Again, boring viewer experience, whatever. Moving on. And now we look at BLG's side of the draft. You have pretty solid disengage from Knight on and Bin on the TF Nami Taliyah, but you have a very aggressive jungle ADC that wants to go in and doesn't want to sit around and wait. So it's, in my mind, is creating this dichotomy of, hey, our draft is a little bit confused. Because, like, yeah, we can go in, but with Knight on the picks that they're on, that they're on, you know, it just doesn't make sense. And that's all I'm going to say about game one. In game two, that's a bug. Sorry, the website I'm using says that Knight Chovy had a mirror matchup of Yone mid. I doubt that's true. Do you know who Knight played?
Knight played Orianna.
Orianna, okay. Meanwhile, in game two, BLG played what I feel like is a much more LPL standard comp. You got the Camille top lane. So you have the aggressive top, aggressive jungle. You have Orianna, which wins most mid lane matchups right now because she's just really freaking good.
Right.
And then you have the pushing bot lane of Varus Ash. So in theory, what should be happening is you have Xin Zhao go and be perma bot lane, covering for the Varus Ash so that they can have perma push and make it so the Pei's and Lehens don't, or they have a lot more of a rough time because you're consistently threatening dives. It's a lot of pressure to generate with those three picks. Then you have the Orianna, which can have, you know, pretty stable mid lane. Like, doesn't necessarily have to interact with Chovy's Yone, which I'm pretty sure historically has been an absolutely cracked as fuck pick.
Oh yeah, you can't do anything.
And then you have a TF top lane on the side of Gen G, which really, really, just nerf his W passive, man. Just nerf it. Get it out of the game.
Your anger is well seething. I see Zac though, not TF. Zac.
Zac top. Okay, so they got their picks wrong. If it's a Zac top lane, then it makes Genji's comp a lot stronger because you have easy dive access onto their backline and not necessarily a lot of peel aside from Varus Ash ults. Ash W, is it?
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So this.
I was like half awake when I first started watching this and I saw like Paze with a 25, 26 solo kill. I'm like, this must be a bug. There's something wrong. Nope.
It's just a bug. There's something wrong. Yeah, no, Paze popped off. I think if he can fix his early game issues, I think Paze Lehens are better than Kiryuguma.
Mm.
But with those early game issues still being in place, I do think Kiryuguma have the edge, even though I also just think Genji have game plans specifically for T1 because they know that they are the problem children of the LCK.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, we're getting off track here. Game three, I'm going to confirm rosters really quickly.
Yes.
Bin Jax, Jhin Nidalee, Knight Jace, Elk, Senna, and On, TK.
Yes, correct.
And Keen Rumble, Kenyon, Lee Sin, Chovy Hui, Paze, Kalista, and Lehens Ash.
Correct.
Okay. I really like both of these comps. I'm not going to lie. I think you have a lot of scaling on both sides. Specifically with... Well, I would say the scaling favors BLG.
Jax. TK. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can see it.
Senna, Jax, TK, plus Jace, who's a monster late game. Meanwhile, on the other side, you have a lot of what look like counter picks that I don't feel like really work, or at least with the people that are playing them. I personally like Lehens a lot more on engaged supports. I don't think he's the best range support player out there. If we had to pick one range support player that's better than everyone else, I'd say Kiryu. On is really good as well. I also think Crisp is in the discussion for that as well, but again, off topic.
Mm-hmm.
I think Hui is a very underrated pick for pro play because he's very much a facilitator and not a hard carry.
No, right.
Because of the depth of his kit, you know, having, what is it, like nine
different abilities, I think, or 9 plus alt, or 10, right?
Yeah, like having 10 different abilities and having each one do so many different things, you can set up so much for your team. But what I think where they went wrong with this comp, Genji, is that they wanted Hui to be a hard carry instead of a facilitator. Now, that doesn't say anything about the build, of course. I think the build stays the same regardless, but it's very... This roster is also very squishy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a Lee Sin that has, like, what, a Sundered Sky?
Yeah.
And a Cleaver, probably?
A Sterix and a Cleaver, yeah.
Yep. Sterix, Cleaver, into a Jax who just... He just sprints at you, like, there's not much you can do about it. Unless he's already low, Jax wins that 9 times out of 10. But yeah, I just think that the scaling and the overall poke as well, coming from Knight, Jhin, and Elk, helped a lot with BLG's win in game 3. Now, of course, we move on to game 4. Okay, Genji, Keen was on Rumble again, Kenyon, Lee Sin, Chovy Yone, Paze, Senna, and Lehens Maokai?
Yes. Sorry. Okay. Yes. Correct.
No, you're fine.
Just checking.
Bin, Camille, Jhin was on Nidalee again, Knight, Tristana, Elk was on...
Zeri.
I haven't seen that champion forever. And On was on Nautilus.
Yes.
Looking at the scaling, I think BLG has an edge because Camille scales a lot better than Rumble. Rumble is meant to be a pub stomp top lane, that will put enemy champions in the opposing lane behind so that you can carry mid lane and get your team ahead and slingshot your lead further. But if it reaches post 30, 35 minutes, Camille just starts winning. Which I don't think is what happened, because, yeah. I don't really have much to say about this, because I think that with this BLG roster, I think if you have Jun on an early playmaker and not on something like Nidalee that requires, you know, the use of skill shots, I think your team has a lot better chance of success. But granted, they were probably thinking, oh, hey, Nidalee worked, let's do it again. which, you know, I can't really blame them, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not a pro player. I don't know what was being said as well. Like, it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like, it could have been better had they fitted the champion to the player, but it seems like they had a game plan in mind. And you know what? We could say maybe we're basing it on results, but at the end of the day, it is. I think it was a good matchup. I think Billy mm-hmm. didn't show up the way we know them to show up in their the LPL, right? And even in this event, they weren't bad. It was just something was not them.
Something
not how
wasn't
they showed up.
Mm-hmm. Plus, meta shifts could have also been weird. Mm-hmm. If we want to talk about meta, if the meta was in T1's favor, aka not lane swaps, carry top, you have carry top lanes plus range support bot lanes with facilitator jungle mid, T1's unstoppable. We saw that last year at Worlds.
Yeah.
But if the meta shifts away from that to where it can be very engage support heavy and very carry jungler-esque, I think Owner is one of the more exploitable members of T1. I think Owner, I think the top side of T1, you can exploit them very well. But when the meta's in their favor, they're unstoppable. But the meta wasn't in their way, or the meta wasn't in their favor this time, and so that was a little bit more than unfortunate.
Yeah.
And I think Gen G really enjoys the type of meta that we're in right now with scaling mid or scaling carry mids, whatever the heck is going on top lane. I don't even know, man.
Whatever's going on, Heen just adapted better, I think, overall. But yeah. What's your overall thought about the MSI before we kind of wrap up and move into previewing this summer?
I really enjoyed MSI. I think this MSI was the best international tournament we've ever had. Because the Swiss stages, the Swiss stage into the playoff, or into the, the Swiss stage into the playoff bracket, I love that format. I think that's brilliant. Mm-hmm. If you can get teams that go, like, it's a very nice way to go about it. The only thing, I personally think that some draws are rigged, but, that's a little bit of trauma lingering from Worlds 2023. A DKKT matchup, by the way.
You just want to eliminate the LCK teams. That's a conspiracy right there.
Yeah.
This was a
good
format.
But I think
it's
best. Yeah, mm-hmm. I love this tournament. I loved this tournament. It's a very good format. And I think if they abandon it for Worlds 2023... I think, or for Worlds 2024, I think they would have failed. That is just an opinion that I have. I could be entirely wrong. The players might have just hated it and been like, hey, could we not do this? And then Riot will change it again.
Well, the fan sentiment and viewer sentiment seems to agree and align with what you think. And so with that said, I think Riot would favor the viewers more than they favor with the players.
We take those.
And that's how this system rolls. But I would generally agree it's been a fun tournament, albeit a little longer than I had expected. But also the timing just didn't work well for North American Easterners that have jobs. Much less for Westerners. West Coasters. I don't know how they deal with that.
I kid you not, before I got my sleep schedule back in order, I was staying up till 6 a.m. watching Cajol stream. Every night, man. It was so fun, but man, it sucked.
That is something we have to think about too. I think for Worlds, I forgot where it is. It's in London, right?
I think Worlds is in London, so it's
London. It's
more
not as
favorable.
Bad. Yeah, more power.
But like, sure. Oof. If anything starts after like 6 p.m., it's just GG. Wake up, watch the reviews the next day.
Yeah. And that doesn't have the same energy. I don't know. I tried, man. Tried to pretend, oh, this game is starting now, and I can watch the full part. Nah, just didn't. But yeah, more palatable for worlds. And so before even getting to worlds, of course, we have to get through the summer split. For the LCS, our expected start date is June 10th. We'll probably be one of the later regions to start because I think EU starts in June 8th and LCK around that time as well. I don't know if I got an update on the LPL on their start date. So with that said, let's turn to some LCS news. We got a lot to cover because one roster decided to just flip everyone. Like four of the five players got like screwed over, for lack of a better word. And, you know, rightfully, the whole fan sentiment is negative towards the Dignitas organization because of the moves that they pulled. Not so much that they replaced the players, but the way that they did it.
Way they went about it and the news that we received from some of the players.
Right now,
I think the former Dig roster, and we'll just talk about Dig first, get out of the way. The Dig roster for Spring was Rich, Exu, Dove, Tomo, and Isles. Okay, pretty, you know, like, I don't think they necessarily did bad in the spring. Or at least specifically Exu. Exu is my main gripe point with how his situation was. And if that's how his situation was handled, I'm just going to assume that everyone else's situations were handled like that as well. And so now if we look over to what their current roster is, they now have Licorice in the top lane. I believe they recruited Spica for jungle. Jensen for mid?
Yep.
Correct. Zven for ADC, and they kept Isles as their support.
Yes. Although there's still 2 weeks left until they replace Isles, so who knows?
Please hold. I am pulling up.
I'll talk a little bit about you know, some of the things that went down. So Exu was the only one that spoke out and made note that, you know, he was told that he was going to be with the team, that there was some form of verbal promise. Then yet suddenly we find out that Spica is going to replace him. And instead of even just either keeping him on the roster or finding some suitable accommodation, they decided to cut Exu and say goodbye. So that felt dirty already. And to add on top of that, LS mentioned on his Twitter that the Spica thing has been in the works even 2 weeks prior, so they had ample time of knowing what they were trying to do, the org I'm talking about. And yet they gave the players zero prep, zero support, and just said goodbye. And so it's really hard not to be pissed off of how the org handled these things, and they haven't released a statement on how everything worked. There was no goodbye. There was nothing about like what they did, because they knew that they screwed over the players. They legit have to know. And then, you know, a week later, we find out that Jensen is going to, well, it's not even a week, man. It felt like a week, but Jensen will take over Dove's spot. That came almost as a surprise, because, you know, Jensen was rumored to be replaced by Quad on the FlyQuest roster. So maybe that was something.
Quid?
Quid? Quad? Which one's plays for 100 Thieves? I thought Quid plays for 100 Thieves.
Quid does play for 100 Thieves.
Okay, so Quad. Quad, also formerly known as Solka, who played for DRX.
Okay.
He came in. We're going to talk about the other roster changes as well, because summer is already like booming with changes. Jensen replacing Duff like that. We knew about this venues right as the split ended, so that wasn't like
a surprise, but
that,
like,
should have given Tomo some time at the very least. But and then the Licorice news kind of like mid off season, so again, not that close to the beginning of the season. But Exu and Dove, man, that's just brutal.
Yeah. Hot take. I think Jensen should retire. I think he's washed.
Oh yeah. I agree with you. He played well spring, but he tailed off too, knowing that that's the player he is.
Like, he always starts out strong and then just crashes and burn. With I think that Jensen is one of the most successful NA players in history. I will give him that. I do think it is time for him to retire. If you look at his world's performance, he can't compete up to that level. Like, it's just not. I don't think that it would be beneficial for him to continue playing. But if it is his decision to continue playing, I cannot.
We
can't really do anything about it. Yeah. So that's just really overall, it's just really unfortunate for XU and Dove, because I think XU has the potential to be a very good jungler.
Mm-hmm.
He did, like, I don't think he even necessarily did bad in the spring split either. It's just, I think orgs are choosing to not cultivate talent, and instead they're trying to focus on, okay, or instead of cultivating talent, they grabbed proven talent. So, yeah, it's unfortunate, but am I glad that Spica has a team now? Yes. Very, very sad day for XU Dove, or for XU Tomo Dove, and what's his bucket?
Rich.
I'm sorry, Rich. You're a great top laner.
Again, we don't have an issue that saying that Licorice and Spica deserves a team, and probably Sven as well, but at the way that this is handled, I think it's unfair to have any like ill feeling towards the players themselves. This is purely an org like assholery type of stuff. This is
purely mismanagement by the org.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are there any other roster changes that I see here?
So the quad was one we never got the chance to cover. FlyQuest making changes, it was rumored. Some were pushing back saying they were probably not going to make any changes. But after the MSI, there was just an air of like, you know, a tension between the league members or the players, even though they deny it.
Oh, yes.
We certainly like know that this is not just a move, that came like, you know, oh, this was super pre-planned. Now, some people were saying this was super pre-planned, so I don't know. I don't know your thoughts about that.
I do think that there's history between, and we're speaking about the tension between Spica and Sven, correct?
More so on the FlyQuest roster, it was Inspired and Jensen.
So, Inspired has a very particular personality. Do I think it is healthy for a competitive environment? Sometimes. Because sometimes you just need that guy to be there to absolutely tear you a new one.
Yes.
However, the way that he goes about it, I do not think was the greatest. I do think that Inspired is a very, very good jungler, and he will have some more competition now that Spica's in. Again, not saying XU is bad. Spica is proven talent. He's won player of the split before. Like, he's a very good jungler. I just think that also with Jensen falling off, or being good at the beginning of the split and then falling off as the split goes on, it did not help the situation with Expired.
Inspired.
Jesus. He's expired.
He's expired. He made Jensen expire.
So this, I think, is a fairly good roster move by FlyQuest. I don't know if it was FlyQuest informing Jensen before MSI, hey, you're not going to be on our summer roster. Or if it was Jensen left and said, hey, I'm not on your summer roster anymore. And FlyQuest was like, hey, this is an opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. And from the folks that I follow on others' discords that follow the NACL closer, everyone has been talking about how Quad needs to be, you know, on an LCS team.
Okay.
It's like,
Quad is an LCS level. Okay.
That's a sentiment. I've watched Solka play. He wasn't very good in the LCK, but that doesn't mean much when you come to the LCS arena.
And that's the thing, like, especially with, like, if you're comparing NA to LCK, like, the skill level is so different. It's so big of a gap. Like, it's difficult to put into words just how big of a gap it is. But yeah.
We shall see. It's gonna cause a bit of a interesting chemistry now. We'll see how he responds. I do think he has a different style than Jensen altogether, so probably is a good thing because FlyQuest needs to bounce back in a major way, you know, noting how they lost the finals, LCS finals, and the way that they performed at MSI. Ooh, it's a
They're
big.
going to need a major bounce back in order to be contenders for the Summer Championship and a spot at Worlds.
And so far, let's look at the little looking ahead at summer. I think C9 has a lot of questions that needs to answer, and they made a change at top lane with Thanatos. We already talked about that in a previous podcast, but we're looking at this from a more like general view. C9 has questions. I don't know if they answered those. We'll see. TL for me is almost a lock for Worlds at the way if they continue to grow, and I think they leveled up.
Absolutely.
They leveled up after MSI, and it'll continue to look more confident and cohesive.
As much as I don't like TL, I can agree with you on that. Or rather, it's not as much TL as I just don't like APA. I think he's very annoying. He's the type of solo queue player that you absolutely hate to have on the enemy team because he doesn't know how to get off the goddamn keyboard.
Watch out.
But he's a good player. I can't rob him of that.
And he can only improve or needs to improve continually, but he has shown steps, even though the community and the team were ready to move on from him during the tail end of spring. Core is looking solid, not gonna say better or worse. It's just not bad. Yon taking that step forward, right?
I think Yon looked really good. However, he does probably like he is getting there slowly. I think he's not quite to the level of a international threat yet. However, I do think that TL did give some trouble to other international spotlights.
So pretty much think that's the expectation that they're taking one of the world spots. Could be first place, could be second seed. FlyQuest again needs to bounce back. Now people are giving Dignitas a better chance now with this roster. Like, objectively, we take away our hatred. Let's look at the roster in and of itself. And I say it's not bad. They do have that capability.
That is a cracked roster you have. You have
Right.
if you can get Licorice to the level of carry potential that he had when he was back on C9, and you can get Spica in peak form, I think they're gonna be close to unstoppable. Now, rosters I think they'll struggle against. I think they'll struggle against C9. I think they'll struggle against TL. I don't think there's going to be another roster they struggle against because they have the experience in bot lane. They have Jensen, who is Jensen, you know, and they have the absolute carry potential powerhouses in Spica and Licorice.
So yeah, that is a contending roster. That's a contender for sure, and could take one of the spots. Some people are definitely a 100 Thieves fan. I think I don't know, maybe you probably not to the agree to the same level, but I think they super overperformed, and this is their regression. Summer's not going to be kind to them. With they would need to show more fundamental consistency. They can win with these smoke and mirrors. They can win with these like high plays or these peak plays, but they can't consistently peak like that the whole split long. I don't believe that for a second.
I can agree with you on that.
And yeah, they might prove me wrong because now they have more experience together. They have more experience for a sniper, more experience for Meech, and we'll just see. So there's four teams that are fighting for those three spots. Immortals stayed the same. Shopify pretty much stayed the same. Immortals did have Inero, brought in Inero, but I just still think that's going to be hard for them to climb out of the basement. Am I missing anyone? It's always eight teams that I'm missing a team.
Did you get Immortals?
Yeah, we just covered Immortals and Shopify, which I think are really going to need to do a lot to get out of the bottom.
Did you get NRG?
I did not get NRG. That is a team I am like, you. I have no idea what to expect.
We're sorry, NRG. I think this NRG roster has a lot of potential. I do. I think they do have a lot of potential. They showed it in Worlds 2023 when they made it to the quarterfinals. But they need to be able to stay consistent if they're not going to make any roster moves. I know that they don't have Ignar anymore. They have Huhi instead. But they need to get to that level of performance that they were at in Worlds 2023 if they want to make it back to Worlds this year.
Yeah.
Do I think they can peak harder than just about any other roster on this or in LCS? Yes. Yes, I do. They need to prove it and get, and like, they need to show it. We know they can. It's just a matter of if they want to.
That is a lot of more questions because, again, this is a team that stayed together. I think the staff more or less stayed the same. But there were so many, like, chatter about internal conflicts between the players that that is something that they need to overcome.
Yep.
It's not for a lack of talent. And Huhi, for me, is an upgrade over Ignar. Supposed to be, but I'm guessing Ignar might have brought some intangibles that Huhi didn't bring. So yeah, let me ask you, who is your ideal top three finish for summer in the LCS?
My ideal top three finish in summer, I think it would have to be C9, TL, and I'm tied between NRG, FlyQuest, and Dignitas. I think either of those three teams could make it. But I think this C9 roster has to prove themselves. Oh. They have to make Worlds this year. Otherwise, I think I am comfortable in calling them washed. I think Berserker's gotten too comfortable now that Zven isn't on the roster and isn't pushing him to be a better ADC.
Yeah,
I think Fudge has not showed that he is the top lane carry that we all have known him to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think Blabber is doing just fine, actually. I think Blabber is Blabber and Blabber's all over the world, you know? Blabber's Crabbers, anyone?
Blabber's Crabbers. Scuttle.
Man, I just think Dojo underperformed. I think he just had a rough split. He's working with a new team that he's not comfortable with. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But this C9 roster needs to perform.
Yeah. My top three would be fairly similar. I have TL for sure. Then it's a toss-up between C9 or Fly. And the third place is probably one of those that I didn't pick, but I could give a nudge to NRG if they put things together.
Yep.
And FlyQuest would fall out for me if that's the case. Wonderful. I think that we have a lot of exciting things to look forward to. That starts in, holy crap, is it really 3 weeks? Now, there's 3 weeks. Rumor that we might go through a best of three, but a single round robin. Oh. I'm like, you know what? You can't win them all, but let's give it a try.
I
don't
like a single round robin. I love best of threes. I think best of threes are the best format. Or if we go to something like what the LCK is doing right now, like where you bring in two teams on a day and you bring in four teams on a day and just do two game series.
Right.
Or you don't even have three game series throughout the week. Yeah, you have like two, three of them, and you can do a double round robin.
You don't even need to open up the Riot Studio to do that. Just have them play, right?
Yeah.
Online viewing. I know it's a cost thing. That's why they're not pushing for this. But that, my friend, could be the option of having best of threes, more games, more stage. We'll pitch in. If Mark 3, you ever do find this pod, please listen to us on this.
Please, Mark. Please.
We will then now kind of wrap up with the last topic of the day, the Hall of Legends. Congratulations to Faker. You are the first inducted into this Hall of Legends. I like the whole idea behind what they were doing because then you'll get to celebrate his career, even as it is ongoing. They have an in-game thing that where they would probably take the players through a journey, which I thought is fantastic because I didn't watch the early parts of Faker's career, and I knew he was a legend. He played at a high level, but now I get to, if the game does well, I can live through that experience. Now, the idea of Hall of Legends is where I have a bit of a beef with, and of course, I'm not alone. This whole internet kind of blew off. Manny Sanchez posted a video of him explaining why it should not be Faker, and you know, an overwhelming number of people think Faker should be the first for this concept they created. Then I got into it with Mage in Discord. I get to clarify
really
my thoughts.
Got into it. Well, he really got into it.
He is very passionate on a keyboard, as I can also hear his voice as he's typing. but, you know, we're on two sides, only based on the idea that who gets to get nominated into this Hall of Legend piece. So this is what we'll do. Well, I'll give you the floor to talk about your perspective, because I do think you are more aligned with what majority think, that Faker should and is and should be the first. And then I'll give my piece. I'll let our listeners kind of decide who is more correct.
I don't think that you can have another first inductee. It is very difficult to find someone with the accolades that Faker has to induct before him, because when I think of Hall of Fame, of course, it's retired players, of course. But with the history of the League of Legends pro scene being so short, or not as the longevity isn't as big of a factor, because we're celebrating. It feels like the idea behind it is that we're celebrating legends. We're celebrating the fact that, hey, you've done something pretty significant. Hats off to you, which I feel like is a very large point that has been missed. And that's why I think they inducted Faker first, is that no one else is a 10-time LCK champion. No one else has won Worlds 4 times. Like, these things just haven't been done. And I don't think they will ever be done again. So I can't really see how there could be an argument for another player. Now, I'll listen to like, oh yeah, sure. Maybe like Uzi. I could see Uzi. He was so dominant when he was good. Like, so like mind-bogglingly dominant. I think he would be the only other person I could think of that could be inductive. And what's your side of this? Because I know you said that you don't like Faker being the first inductee.
So I'll chime in. So my side of things is, when I think of a celebratory concept, a hall of, it's almost like a vault, something that's meant to have people today and into the future remember legends. And legends are, you know, great figures that live in the history. Now, Faker is League of Legends esports, no doubt about that. I'm not taking anything away from it. Mm-hmm. But the push for him to be first, even before he's retired, was something that just felt like, why the hurry, right? Why, we know that he's going to be a comp, he's and continue, even if his, you know, the rest of his career, even from this point on, if he doesn't do anything remarkable, if he doesn't win another title, he is still the greatest. But why the push for active players to now be eligible for this, right? Because that's what it is. The moment you inducted Faker, all active players are eligible as well. They may not never get in. And I can see a world that, you know, down 10, 20, 30, 40 years, maybe nobody active will ever get in, because nobody has the resume of Faker. I get that. There is a world that's absolutely happened, but you do open the door. If someone's exceptional, what's to not make people feel like, oh, we need to make another exception? And then that dilutes the exception that we've already given to Faker. That's kind of one point. The other piece is, it sort of feels like a money-making ploy. I think I mentioned this. Because, you know, at the end, even at the end of that article, they said that all the proceeds, all the skins, whatever they're going to be making will go towards the player, right? Player inducted in the Hall of Fame will be presented with official trophy, express their fandom, tastefully reflect the inductees, and their teams will receive a percentage of revenue from the sales passes and bundles or on a prorated basis. So
Hey,
we're just gonna. What? Go ahead.
did you see that Faker's getting a custom car from?
Yeah, Mercedes.
I think the base price for that car is around 200,000 USD. Not to mention that it is going to be a custom vehicle as
Custom.
well.
It's going to be limited edition.
So it's automatically going to be a price bomb.
And yet people in Korea will go for it, or the elites will go
Yeah.
so when I think of a Hall of Fame, I know I'm coming from a T-sports, so like a traditional sports mindset, and that's something that, you know, I get Mage hates, and I completely agree that we want to have something different. But the Hall of Fame is meant more to focus on the players itself, whereas this one makes me keep wondering, are they just doing this to push sales, to push for revenue? Because we know how broke Riot is. And that, to me, that's why I say, oh, we're taking away some of the focus of careers. And I may be alone in this. I may be alone in this, but it takes away the focus of like, oh, we're celebrating this player because of his accomplishment, and we're making money. That's the kind of message I'm getting from this Hall of Legends. The second thing is the Mage made it seem like I made this whole thing of why what the Hall of Fame should look like. No, I read these early articles. This was posted in January of 2024. They said Hall of Legends, it will be a, what's the quote? Inducted in our unique version of a Hall of Fame. So they already implemented this idea that it's supposed to be a Hall of Fame like. Even on Liquidpedia, the Hall of Fame Legends is equivalent of a Hall of Fame formed by esports. So that's why when it was first announced, I and, you know, some of the people that I shared a
Yeah,
sentiment with,
people.
we thought it was going to have that flair of retired players looking at back at their careers. You know, players are, you know, even in this 14 years of that league existed, legends are retired when a lot of people don't know about it. Have you watched any of the MadLife, you know, Bangi, all those Uzi's plays when they were at their prime? I haven't. Well, I have seen
Yes.
Uzi, but some of them, but I don't go back. But this is the way for me to go into that Hall of Fame to look up these
Yeah.
players, right? And that's my idea. They're retired. I can look back, much like, you know, I've never watched Elgin Baylor, or, you know, was that in the Babe Ruth or things, but I know their names because
Yeah.
they are Hall of Famers. What this said for me is, you're opening the door. Let's say 20 years down the line, there's someone super exceptional, has won every title, won the Golden Road year after year. Would that be an exception that you were going to say, let's put him in the Hall of Fame or Hall of Legends?
I think that would have to be an exception.
Right. But then
Because
you're.
one, a golden road has never been achieved before.
Exactly.
One. Two, if they do it multiple times, like that's crazy, by the way.
And I'm thinking hypothetical. This is a
Yeah.
0.00001% chance of a player like that might exist. So that's my kind of thinking of why it could have been or should have been for retired players. And even in my discussion with Mei, she's like, okay, the Hall of Legends is a completely different concept, which I really thought, you know, don't equate it to a Hall of Fame then. It's a completely different concept. I like it because this would separate esports from t-sports because they would have their own thing. But that's because they put it in the beginning that this is going to be a unique version of a Hall of Fame. So now I'm thinking
Yeah.
it's not just
And
retired players anymore. It's, yeah.
That's why I think that while it is comparable to a Hall of Fame, it is not a Hall of Fame. It is not specifically for retired players. It is what I think is happening is that they want it to be a living memory. Like you were saying. But like I can see the side of your argument. Like, it should be for retired players. But the only pain point there is Hall of Fame-like, it's not meant to be exactly a Hall of Fame. So that's my only, like, type of moment. But
so I think we each have our own gripe. Mine is more so in the past, because now they did set, like, what they are looking at to do for this Hall of Legend. They have their own stipulations. They have their own set rules and requirements. I'm okay with that. And this will be something that's unique for League of Legends. And so I think at the end of the day, congratulations to Faker. Well-deserved. You are probably the face of League of Legends forever, much like the Lombardi Trophy is for the NFL.
Yeah,
like Mike Lombardi. So that's an amazing. I like that part. Like, this is why Faker will forever be known, no matter if it's 20, 30, 40, 50 years, because he is that good.
Yeah, no, like, I don't think there will ever be another player that will be the face of League. I think it will just be Faker for the rest of League of Legends in its longevity.
Awesome. All right, friends. We had a very, very fun time kind of breaking this all down. Thank you so much, Random, for just jumping on, you know, breaking down MSI, helping us see, look forward to summer. And, of course, this has been a fun, you know, chatter on the Hall of Legends. Where can listeners find you? You know, what are you doing upcoming? What are you doing during this, like, interim time where you don't have league?
Right now, my team is competing in a league. I stream every once in a while on Twitch, twitch.tv/randombrute.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from that, I'm not doing a whole lot. I'm around here and there, and yeah.
Awesome. And for us here, we will continue having shows, bringing these great guests on. We want to hear from you, Phil. So you are a fan. Tell us why. Come join in the conversation. And until next time, keep being a fan.